is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's tough sometimes to know how to rejoice, but if we know where it comes from internally, that will give us peace as we understand that. Now, my scripture reading today, to start us out with, it's really going to set the stage for my message. It's out of Isaiah, and I'm going to read out of Isaiah 41:10, and then Isaiah 45:22-25. So bear with me as I read that, and then I'll pray over our scripture, and we'll get started. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear. Do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then out of Isaiah 45, verse 22 through 25, it says this, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. My mouth is uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow. By me every tongue will swear. And they will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But all the descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in him." Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So over the last couple to several weeks, I've been thinking. And I thought, sometimes we read these things. And Eric read a scripture the other day in one of his messages. And I thought, I've read that so many times. And somehow, I kept on going through it, and I didn't get what he has. So I want to slow down just a little bit, and pardon me, but we're going to dissect a couple of these things that we read today. So let me just go back first to Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Do not fear." And I want us to look and say, what did we read? What did it tell us? And how does God want us to respond to that? What we read there is, people fear. We have fear. Those of you that are fearing something, I'll be talking to you at the very end of service. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for that fear. So we know that it's real and it's natural, but we also know from reading that it's unnecessary to the believer. Why? Why is it unnecessary to the believer? It says, he is with us. He says he's with you. And let me remind you, there's a couple times today I'm going to be talking about this. And when I say us, we often do this. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is with you. And the Lord is with you. And we forget that he's with us. Oh my gosh. I'm telling everyone else, he's with them. But I need to know he's with me as well. And that happens a lot. Let me pray for y'all. Dang it, I forgot to pray for myself. We have to include ourselves in the mix of everything God's Word is telling us. Everything is for you in here. Oh, I've got to remember and believe that it's for me as well. Amen? So it says, do not fear. Why? He is with you. And he's with me. And we cannot forget that. And it says, what will he do? He will strengthen you. And he will uphold you. Oh, remember? And me. Guess what he's going to do for y'all? He's going to strengthen you. And for you all, he's going to uphold you. How's he going to do that? With his right hand. With my righteous right hand, he says. So there's our answer there as well. Now as we flip back over to chapter 45 of Isaiah and the things that we read in there, it's the same thing. Isaiah 45, verse 22, turn to me. There's an action. He's calling us to do this. So he says, turn to me. Why? So that you can be saved. If anyone is here today, if anyone is watching us today, and you're not saved, there's opportunity for you to do that at the end of service today. And we don't do that a whole lot, but I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. It says, turn to me and be saved. Who? All you, it says. Not just the lost group. Not just those people that are wandering in and out. All of us, the entire group. All of you. And how do we know that? He says, for I am God, and there is no other. There's no other way to be saved. But this is what I really love. He says, before me, every knee will bow. Can anyone guess what our action at the end of service is going to be? That's okay for those of you that have some physical conditions that don't allow you to get on your knees. I have an out for you to respond with an action as well. Now, I know at my age, when I get down there, that ground is a whole lot further than it used to be. And it's so much harder to get up. And you may get down there, may need some help getting up, but it's okay because it says, before me, it says, every knee will bow. And by me, every tongue will swear. And guess what else we're going to do? Uh-oh. We're going to confess with our mouth out loud today at the end of service that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I just think we need to do that every now and then and be reminded of that. Because he tells us every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it says, they will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. So for us, deliverance and strength are available through what means? The Lord. All descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in him. Now turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. That's where that was just the get-go to get us into our message. Hebrews chapter 12. And by the way, when we read that, as Christians, this is where we find a lot of our struggle. In Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 7. Endure hardships. I could quit right there and just say, okay, there's the message. Endure hardships. God, why? Why do you ask us to endure hardships? He says, you do it as discipline. Endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And don't start spouting out names. Okay, this isn't the place to do that. But what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children at all. Uh-oh. And it goes on to tell us we've had parents that haven't disciplined. We've had parents that discipline us. And when we read that, it tells us we weren't pleased at the time with our parents' discipline. Anybody pleased when their parents disciplined them? Not me. I wasn't. Spencer, were you pleased when you were disciplined? I can't imagine. Austin, no. I can't imagine. But it says later on they gained respect out of that discipline because of that discipline. And it says in verse 9, moreover, we have all had parents who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and what? And live. Our parents disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. Man, I want a piece of that. I want a piece of his holiness that he shares with me. And he does that through discipline so that we can partake of that and participate in that. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest, not just a little bit, but a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen Now listen to this part. This is kind of what my message is wrapped around. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Every knee shall bow. We cannot have weak knees when we go before the Father. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet. Why? So that the lame may not be disabled. Why? So that they can be healed instead. Man, I love that. I love that part of Hebrews. Again, when we look at what did we read, what did it tell us, and how do we respond? Verse 7, endure hardship. Why do I have to do that, Lord? We already said, because it is discipline. And the Lord disciplines those that He loves. And He's treating us as His children, and we're able to partake in His holiness. Verse 9, we respect our parents for disciplining us. So what do? If we submit to the Father, even more so, we do that. Why? So that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That's what He wants us to have. He tells us that discipline is unpleasant and painful in the beginning. That's what we read. Okay, so what's in it for me? Why do I have to go through that? Because it produces, or it makes, or it forms a good harvest. Of what? Of righteousness. And peace, it says. Who gets to receive that? Those who have been trained by it. Verse 12 also says, strengthen your weak knees, or your weak arms and knees, so that we can help others. God's word tells us in multiple places, do not be a stumbling block for others. Oh, and by the way, don't be one, but don't put one in front of your brother. Matter of fact, it tells us when you see a stumbling block in front of your brother or sister, go remove it and get it out of the way. Either tell them that's not a stumbling block, that's a step, so step on it or over it. Don't be tripped by it. Or remove it from their path and make level their pathway for ourselves and for them. So that those that are weak and sick and lame can get through it. I love that. And we do it all so that we can live and have that action. Now flip over to Romans, if you would. In Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, it talks about the weak and the strong. And in the very beginning, it tells us in Romans 14, verse 1. Listen carefully, church. Except those whose faith is weak. Oh, we just want the strong faith believers in here. No, except those whose faith is weak. Some people have trouble with that. Oh my gosh, they don't know anything. Oh my gosh, they'll never grow. They haven't grown. There's a reason for that, but this says accept them. But what comes right after that? Accept them whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. That tells us that there are matters that are worth disputing, but it says don't quarrel over them. Don't mess with it. Why do we always have to quarrel and bring everything up? It is so easy to sit on a pedestal and start pointing out faults. But it says, accept them. Those that are weak in faith. Why do we do that? Look at the end of verse 3. The very end of verse 3 says, For God has accepted that person. That person in their weakness has called out on the name of Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, and hopefully transform their life and hopefully become Lord of their life. They've called on Him and God has accepted that person. That's why we're called to accept them as well. There are fearful people and there are fearless people among us. There are weak people and strong people among us. There are lost people and found people among us. There are blind people and seeing people among us. Accept them. Accept them. Why? Because God has accepted that person. He is calling us to such a great relationship with Him. He's going to ask us to befriend people that we don't like. Dear Lord, I'm going down the road. Maybe they won't preach that. They better. Eric said last week, we preach the Bible. Accept those people that are weak. Accept those people that are blind. Accept those people that are lost. Accept those people that are fearful. I want you to do me a favor. If you're fearful about anything today, raise your hand. You say, son, raise your hand. I know you're fearful. Grandparents, raise your hand. We're fearful. But we're excited. We're anticipating. God, what will you do? Hang on, I've got to go back a scripture. So, where was that? Let's see here. Oh, endure hardship. Thank you, Lord. That's what you have in store for me. Endure hardship. Why? Because I'm disciplining you. Why? Because I love you. He's calling us to a greater and closer walk with Him so that we can love other people and be the light of people. My goodness, my wife and I cried our little eyes out watching those dang Hallmark shows yesterday and those Hallmark-like shows. And I said, it breaks my heart that people treat other people that way and that people get treated that way. It breaks my heart. And it breaks God's heart. He needs us to love the unlovable. He needs us to love the lonely. Why judge one another? Verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat your brother or sister with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Uh-oh. Better get ready. For it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then, we will all give an account of ourselves to God. Be prepared, church, to give an account to your God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, that means let's replace that with this. Make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Amen. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother and sister. Accept those who are weak without quarreling over disputable matters. Again, it tells us that means there's stuff to dispute. There's stuff to debate. There's stuff to talk about. Hang on, I'm looking around. Okay. Pastor Jack Eldred, our founding pastor, told Eric and I something one time as he was preparing to retire. 7 years ago this month, as a matter of fact. And he said, do not play the lawyer. Do not always fight for your position, even if it's right. I don't know about you, but I hated hearing that. Ugh. I like to be right. Don't play the lawyer. Don't always defend yourself and your actions. Be prepared to, but it's not always about that. There's disputable matters. And it says, don't quarrel over those. Just accept that person. Why? Because God has accepted that person. Our church is an interdenominational independent church. That means we're by ourselves. We are part of the Free Methodist organization, and we fellowship with them. And they have a new superintendent that started this month. And he told us a story last week. And he said, any vessel can be used for any purpose in the hands of God. And I want you to think about that. Look around here. That means you, young guys sitting in the back row, you young people up in the sound booth, you watching on Facebook, you folks, you ladies. See, it's not just men. You ladies can be used. Any vessel for any purpose in the hands of God can be used. That means we are all vessels if we are willing to submit ourselves and subject ourselves to God. And I love that, and you'll hear me say it again and again probably. Now, that doesn't mean we jump on board and support every ministry that comes through here. He says, nickels and noses matter, but not always. In order for us to be used by Him, you have to allow. What does that mean? We have to let. What does that mean? We have to give permission for Jesus Christ to use us and transform us and make us His vessel and His instrument. Let me tell you something, though. If any of you are sitting here today or watching today, my wife reminded me of something very important. I can say that all day, but she said, when I first came to this church, not growing up in church, she said, I wasn't worthy of being used as His vessel. Oh, Lord, no. Not Cindy Dilly. She said, I didn't think I was worthy enough to be used by Him for His glory in any way. Got scratches all over my hands from picking blackberries yesterday in our yard. A ton of them. I remember a young man coming to church because Cindy said, you don't get any blackberry cobbler unless you start coming to church. And he came for years and didn't miss a Sunday for years. Any vessel for any purpose in the hands of God can be used for His glory. So if any of you think I'm not worthy, you are. Not worthy on your own. You're worthy because He allowed you to be worthy because He died on the cross. He paid a ransom for you. And by the way, He paid a ransom for your sins as well. We have to give Him permission to transform us and to use us. Now here's my question today. How flexible is your spiritual knee? How flexible is your spiritual knee? When Christ called you, when Christ calls you, how quick are you to bow your knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord? When He calls you to His ministry, you spend days, weeks, months, even years going through the whole list. Oh my goodness, I have to strategize. What does He want? What does that mean? I have to fully understand. Lord, what is it exactly? I mean, paint me a perfect picture. And He says, man, I'm not even done with you, let alone the picture of what I'm having you do. What do you mean? Show you the completed picture. I'm still forming you into the person I designed and desired you to be. Don't ask me to show you the completed picture when I'm still working on you. We want to understand. We want to weigh the odds. Wait until we have all the details lined up so we can fully understand the process and exactly what he wants? Well, I don't know, Lord. Let me look at the money side. There's money involved. I don't know. Let me look at the effort. I got this, you know, this time involved in this. And I just don't have the time. Well, you've got the time. You just aren't making the time. God, that's just a lot of work. Or do we respond and say, come follow me, Adam. I drop my net and I go immediately as the disciples did. People too proud or too stubborn to bend a knee and actually admit before others that you and I need a Savior. Today I'm giving every one of us an opportunity to respond to that by bowing our knee and confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's what I want us to do. If you're able, I don't care if you get down on one knee or two knees, I want you to get down on your knees. Knees, whatever. If you're not able to, because of physical conditions, I fully understand that. Here's all I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand as a sign. And then when we're down on our knees as a church body, we are going to confess out loud and together that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's pretty simple. Let's try it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's do it one more time. Jesus Christ is Lord. And guess what? He is going to want to hear that when we do that. I want you, once you get down, to be careful getting back up. It's tough for some of us. So will you give us a little music as we prepare for this? And this isn't about how pretty it looks with us getting down, getting up, whatever it is. It's about us doing what the Scripture calls us to do. And then I want to give those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you may be watching on Facebook, I want you to respond. And I want you to respond by coming forward or getting with Pastor Eric or myself after the service. You can call in, you can go to our website, whatever. If you're watching online, we want to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It will transform your life forever. We're going to have opportunity at the end just to sing exactly about that. And then I have one more thing. Adam, that's quite a list. Yeah, I know. You've been inactive for a long time. Sitting. If you have a fear, and I'd like you to respond just by coming forward so that we can pray over you. I don't care how big or small that fear of. If it's fear to you, it's fear that we want to pray for. Because he said there's no need to. Hang on, guys. There's no need to. He says, I will strengthen you. And I will help you. And I will uphold you. Nikki, will you bring some lights down just a little bit? Church body, let's get on our knees. If you're able to, again, if you're not able to, if you simply would raise your hand. And if you would keep it raised as well as you can. I know that's very difficult after a long time. But raise your hand if you cannot get down on your knee. And if you're at home watching on Facebook, please do the same thing. Respond as though you are right here in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, you see us on our knee, bended. in response to your word. God, you also call us to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Church body, let us confess together. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us confess again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Once again, let him hear you. Jesus Christ is Lord. While you're on your knee, you can get up, you can stay down there, you can speak to him. But his word said, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Today we have done that. As our band comes forward, we're going to sing about that in just a minute. But stay where you are. No need to get up unless you want to. It's a comfort issue. If you have fear, again, I want you to come forward that we may pray over you. Got fear, the altar is open for you to come forward. Let us pray over you for that fear. Let us pray for you. Come forward if you have fear of something you want us to pray for. I thank you, church body, today for your action, for your submission to Jesus Christ. Any vessel for any purpose in the hands of God can be used. All right, we're going to continue worshiping and praying. You are dismissed. Have a blessed and amazing day.